This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, it's the last Thursday of the month, and normally around this time we speak to Brasol, who'll be joining us in no time. We have an interesting case study, Solomon Mokgotlaneng from Polokwane, who worked as a long-distance delivery company, van boy, as they used to call them at that time. They were involved in an accident in 1993 in Bloemfontein. We're told within a month of his employment, the company deserted him. His leg was amputated after 2 months. He was discharged, and he hitchhiked from Bloemfontein to Polokwane as he did not have any money. His mother's boss, and the mother was a domestic worker, approached the company to compensate him. They refused to pay him a settlement amount because he had worked for less than a month. And Brasol is joining us on the line to tell us more, actually. Beautiful story, concerning story. But yeah, Brasol, good evening to you. How are you, sir?
Great, and how are you, my bro?
Kana o matlalela these days. How are things going?
Hey, my bro, I had even forgotten today is the 30th because to me, you know, a calendar means nothing nowadays.
I got twin twing
on the 20th. No, but on a serious note, the number of my meetings and the number of calls I've been getting since July 1 have increased by over 300%.
Wow. Wow. At least you are not just lounging on the couch. There's activity.
Yeah. No, I've been extremely
beautiful.
Busy.
So tonight we're talking about a very sensitive issue, Brasol. If you can cut straight into it, please, bro.
Yeah, in fact, just a quick one. Usually I say to people, I walk like a penguin. A friend of mine, Pilon Tombela, said, no, you are loop and fall. Remember, because I fall the time. I'm no longer penguin, I'm loop and fall. May his soul rest in peace.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, in fact, you remember a while back, we interviewed Road Accident Fund.
Yes.
And they were saying everything is all groovy. People are claiming successfully there are no problems.
Yeah.
And fortunately, today I managed to get someone who didn't benefit from Road Accident Fund. Mm. His bosses also just ignored him. It's a very sad story. Solomon Mokgotlaneng from Polokwane.
Yes, we just write out the story here, yeah.
Yes, but we also have a lawyer who will give advice on what people need to do if they find themselves encountering these problems. And yes, we will hear a lot from him in his own words.
Okay, good stuff. And he's holding on the line, Brasol. Shall we go straight to him?
Sure.
Okay, good evening.
Ntate Mokgotlaneng, how are you, sir?
Yes, evening, sir. I'm okay.
Yeah. Sad story. Your story in Bloemfontein, you thought you had a job within a month. There is an accident at work. They told you that, no, go away. We can't give you anything because you've worked for only a month, having to hitchhike from Bloemfontein back home to Polokwane, and your mother's boss trying to intervene. How did all of that end at the end of the day?
Yes, man, it ended very badly on my side because I didn't get hold on to my previous work, my previous boss. Then from there, I fill up the form of the workman compensation through my mom's boss. Mm. Then from there, they bought for me a leg, an artificial leg through workman compensation.
Mm.
And then I receive a monthly salary of compensation, a wage.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Then the rough case, it was the last time I was at the court. It was the 1999 on the 20 February in High Court in Pretoria. So the case was being withdrawn.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as matters stand now, your the compensation fund that you are getting is around what? 1,900?
It's 1,800.
1,800. And I'm sure it's not enough.
It's not enough because they've never compensated me with anything. That's the only money I get from them, yes.
And I'm told that you tried to augment your monthly grant by getting a job at a restaurant, but things are on lockdown now, so you are...
Yeah, lockdown, yes. I'm unemployed at the present moment because it's been closed. So I don't get paid because you no work, no pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's so sad about this case?
We are listening, Brasol?
I'm sick. Driving. The driver left him there, and the company didn't make any effort to go and visit him.
Yeah.
Which is so sad. It's so inhuman, to say the least.
So you brought us a lawyer as well, Brasol?
Yes, I was having a lawyer.
Sorry. I'm trying to introduce Mr. Ndlovu.
It's a miss, yeah.
Me? I'm actually a miss Ndlovu.
A miss. How are you? I'm sorry, ma'am. How are you?
I am well, thanks, and yourself?
I'm very well. Shihlamariso Ndlovu.
Yes.
How are you, ma'am? Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Sorry for that. So tell us about how common are such stories that Solomon has just narrated to us today?
Okay. I would like to begin with the concept of medical boarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because based on the theory that Brasol shared with me is that he was eventually medically boarded after the accident.
Yeah.
So the concept of medical boarding came up with the fund or a scheme. And such a fund or a scheme regulates how long and under what circumstances an employee shall be paid out. And this comes after recommendations by the fund or the scheme's medical team. And I mean, this only happens in instances where an employer belongs to a fund or a scheme. So if an employer does not belong to a fund or a scheme, this kind of instances may lead to what we call termination as a result of capacity that may result in no payment or compensation on the part of the employee who has suffered. Who has suffered and had to be had to be medically boarded due to ill health or injury. So I mean, in instances where, like, for instance, it's as a result of, it's regulated by the Occupational Health and Safety Act. And the payment is managed by the Department of Labor. And it kicks in until retirement age. And this is done using the Occupational Health and Diseases Act. For instance, if an employee is a government employee and they belong to a government employee's pension fund, the government employee's pension fund will regulate such medical boarding, and they are going to determine, after having received recommendations from their medical team, as to how long must they pay the employee and how much must they pay the employee. And in instances where medical boarding is caused as a result of an accident, an employee has a right to claim as a road accident fund just like any other ordinary citizen, despite that they were in an accident during the fulfillment of their scope their scope of employment with their employer. However, one has a period of 3 years from date of accident within which they
Lodge a claim.
claim with the road accident fund.
Mm.
And in instances where one is a passenger or one is a pedestrian, I think it's a simple case, because all one has to prove is to say that I suffered as a result of the driver's negligence.
Mm.
I haven't had any issues with people who have claimed, and I am not sure as to what is the cause of, or what was the cause of her, the dismissal of his case.
Mm.
You know, I think if I had a bit of an insight on the reasons, I would be in a far better position to advise accordingly. What I know is that the claims sometimes take longer than anticipated because of the backlog. But if a claimant was not at fault at all, the road accident fund often pays, because all one has to is to say that, you know, I suffered as a result of another person's negligence.
Yeah.
I was not at fault for the injuries that I sustained, and therefore I am entitled to get compensation from your side.
Yeah. So here's something that I'd like to get clarity on just a little bit. Sorry to interrupt there. So the fact that the compensation fund is paying him a monthly grant of 1,900 rand, doesn't that on its own acknowledge that, you know, he probably deserves something from SARS? I mean, RAF, sorry.
Okay. This is how it often works on this kind of cases. One is not excluded or is not precluded from still lodging a claim with the road accident fund. If he had lodged a claim with the road accident fund, what the fund was going to do is they were going to apportion whatever he is getting or whatever he would have received from the compensation fund.
Mm.
Yes. So one, I mean, because he is already getting benefits or he is already receiving compensation from the compensation commission, it does not exclude him to still proceed lodging a claim against the road accident fund.
Even after the 3-year period that you spoke about?
So the 3-year period is what we call the prescription period. If one fails to lodge a claim within the 3-year period, the claim lapses, it runs out of time. And as soon as you run out of time, then you cannot lodge a claim. You have 3 years within which to lodge a claim. And this is in instances where the driver is known. In instances where a driver is not known or it was unidentified, you have 2 years within which you must lodge your claim. So because the 3 years period has lapsed, but from what I heard him saying, is that a claim was lodged, but it was dismissed. I would like to assume that the claim was lodged in time.
No, it was lodged in 1999. I think the incident happened in 1993.
My understanding is that it was lodged in time, even though, usually a road accident fund will say you have to present medical reports, and ultimately they decided to go to court, which was only 6 years later.
Oh.
And he went to court with the lawyer, but unfortunately the driver of the car didn't show up. You know, when he was telling me this story, I found it a bit strange, and I thought there should be something fishy there. Anyway, I have lawyers in my family, but I also know that people often say lawyers and spokespersons. I was a spokesperson for the better part of my life.
Mm.
They usually say you will never go to heaven, you know. and I thought maybe that lawyer who represented Solomon is one of those lawyers who will definitely not go to heaven. Because since after that case, they have never contacted him. They never even spoke about possibilities of appealing the judgment. They just dumped him like that, which is so sad.
Shehlamare, so you are definitely going to heaven, ma. Don't worry about what Rasol said.
Yes, and I would like to come in to say that because we don't know what actually transpired or what led to the withdrawal of the court of his case in court. It doesn't mean that he cannot pursue it. He can still reach out to the road accident and they can give him an update, or they can even give him an outcome as to what was the reason, what happened in court.
Maybe let's ask him. Maybe he remembers some of the details. Solomon, do you remember the details?
Yes, I do remember the details. At the time of the court, the driver was not given evidence.
Was that the reason you were told?
That's the reason they were told.
And as far as you know, it was the only reason why the case was dismissed.
Absolutely. Because I was not the driver. The driver is the one who actually accident on that time. I was not driving on that time.
As a lawyer, ma'am, do you think that it's good enough reason to dismiss the case?
To be honest with you, when we run with this kind of matters, unless a driver is able to come give evidence in court, we don't often get drivers, because sometimes we don't even know who was driving. Like in the case of hit and run, we don't often know who was driving, but this case get prosecuted and become successful. So I'm not even sure as to who would have called the driver to appear before court as a witness. You know, or to give evidence, or maybe because it's back then, long before I became a lawyer. But today I can run with a matter to finality, unless if the court or the road accident fund insisted that we shall bring the driver in court to come give evidence. A matter can reach finality without such evidence or without such a person appearing before court to give evidence, because all we need when lodging our claims, we need proof that one was in an accident.
Yeah.
And we get that on the accident reports that we use as supporting documents, you know, when we lodge our claim.
Yeah.
And to prove that one was injured, all we need, or we furnish them with, is medical records from the hospital to show that this person was admitted after they were in an accident. And all that, it's sufficient. And if there is still a dispute whether regarding the merits and all that, they can still call witnesses. And if there's merit regarding the extent of the injuries, what we do is we appoint experts, you know. And when we have experts, if the court needs them, or if the road accident needs them to go before court to give evidence, we call them. But that alone should not be a reason to dismiss the case, because they are not saying that he was not in an accident. And again, they are not saying that he did not suffer injuries as a result of an accident.
Saul, you wanted to come in there?
No, I wanted to say the evidence was there for the magistrate to see, because the guy is wearing a prosthetic leg.
Yeah.
So he got amputated, you know. So there was no need for a driver to be called in as a witness. But also, over and above that, Solomon went to a government hospital in Bloemfontein. Government was supposed to provide medical reports, you know, to his lawyer. That's why I say, okay, there's something seriously wrong with this lawyer and who represented him. But since the lawyer is saying there's a chance that this matter could be pursued, I would suggest,
that Solomon, it should be.
Continues, to pursue that. More especially, we also have a relationship with Road Accident Fund. They came onto the show, they made commitments. Then we will also go back to them to say, hey, here's this case. Please handle it and investigate what really happened.
Yeah. Solomon, does this give you hope? I mean, this incident took place a long time ago, in 1993. I think I was doing Standard 9, if I'm not mistaken. And in fact, I was doing Standard 10 at that time. No, 9. You see, I can't even remember. And you are still struggling with it, Solomon? Solomon? Yeah, no, Solomon is with us, but he's not really with us. So, do you think that, based on, some of the loopholes that we have already identified here, there is a good case that something positive could eventually come out of this case?
Yes, I think so. And I am saying that because this matter was lodged, for as long as a matter was lodged, it doesn't matter as to when was it first instituted or when was it first lodged. Yeah. It should be there on the road accident fund system, and they should be in a better position to advise on a way forward, because I still fail to understand why a matter will be thrown out of court merely because the driver was not there, especially if the magistrate had in their possession things like an accident report, which proves that this particular client or claimant was merely a passenger on a car that was driven by so and so, So I think there is hope, and I think that may not be the only reason the matter was dismissed. It's just that we don't have much insight.
Yeah,
But yeah, there is hope for him. There is still hope for him.
Saul, I think you've brought before our attention a very important matter, because I think there are so many Solomons out there throughout the country.
In fact, yesterday I wrote on Facebook to say I needed to interview someone who has experienced what Solomon has gone through. In fact, it wasn't just Solomon who responded. Many other people responded on Facebook to me saying that, yeah, they got injured at work and they were just dumped just like that by their companies. But also that I know in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, the company's CEO or managing director is the accounting officer who should be held accountable if there are any accidents in the workplace. In fact, it also goes to, we discussed this with my employer previously, saying that, in fact, if we were to force our officials to come back to work without having taken all the necessary precautions to ensure that they weren't going to be infected with COVID, and some of them got infected. In terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, they have the right to take action against the company. And over and above that, police have the right to institute criminal proceedings against the CEO or the managing company, the managing director of the company. So this matter is quite topical right now.
Yeah.
And I've heard about some municipalities in other provinces who have forced employees to come to the office, and there were mass infections, in those offices. So those employees have the right to, to take their municipal manager and the executive mayor to court.
Solomon, you are not giving up on this fight, I suppose.
Yes, I'm not giving up. Actually, I will never give it up, actually. I think to Mr. Saul has done a lot for me. I hope I won't get it, and I have a little hope that I will get there.
Yeah.
Because I know how this thing works. Because I've tried compensation also, the RAF also, I go to the offices of RAF to find out what, how much did the RAF pay for me? They say no, nothing. But the case, it was still there. I've tried by all means to find every information I have from RAF, nothing. But those people from Twin Tracking Transport, they only fill up the form of workman compensation. So they just pay only for my artificial leg, that's all. And the compensation is paying me monthly wage of 1,800.
Yeah,
so, yeah. The hospital from Elonomi, I just took the taxis from there after they released me from the hospital to come to Polokwane. I've never seen them since that time till today.
Yeah.
They've never speak to me. I've never seen any psychiatrist or psychologist or therapist to train me how to walk or train me by artificial. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
What I can say is that Solomon is very strong. Some of us had to go for counseling 3-5 times a week for us to be as normal as we are. And I'm also glad to say that Solomon is happily married and he has children, but unfortunately, the lockdown is impacting very negatively on his ability to provide for his family, just like many of us who are disabled out there, who are not able to fend for ourselves since we are working for ourselves, that we are not able to generate any income. But I salute Solomon that he is such a strong character.
Solomon, thank you, sir, and good luck with your case. Shetla Mariso, Ikenzen Kov, Sisi, thank you for your time as well.
Awa kukense mina ngo.
Rasol, realeboga khosi.
Thank you so much, my chief.
Thank you. All right, guys, good night. Thank you so much. Yeah, very important issue this that Rasol brought to our attention tonight. And yeah, I mean, if you want to engage it further, if you're one of those people who's got a similar story in your family or be it yourself, maybe you want to also, you know, engage with Rasol as well to see if he cannot put you in contact with a lawyer the same way that he's doing, I suppose, with Shetla Mariso Ndlovu. But yeah, it's a very, 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 very sad issue. Imagine, you know, a story like that. He had to hike from the Free State to go back home to the province of Limpopo.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.